I will open up the House Transportation Committee meeting for January 23rd. We will start out with roll call, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Durham.
Here.
Representative Dooling.
Here.
Representative Sprunger.
Excused.
Representative Barker.
Excused.
Representative Worth.
Here.
No, he's here.
Representative Brockman.
Here.
Representative Butcher.
Here.
Representative Kearns.
Here.
Representative T. Smith.
Here.
Vice Chair Fern.
Here.
Representative F. Smith.
Here.
Representative Lynch.
Here.
Representative Carter.
Here, here.
Representative Baum.
Here.
Chair Logie.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We have a quorum, so we will proceed. And I would ask everybody in the audience, if you're here to testify, we'd ask you to sign out front. Please silence your cell phones. We'll keep things in order here when you get up there, if you would state your name and where you're from. We would also, we like to have decorum here, so you go through the chair when you're asking questions or when you're speaking as well. So right now we will proceed. We have our House Bill, one of our representatives here. We have our House Bill 261. We will start the hearing on House Bill 261.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of Transportation, I'm honored to be in front of you today with HB 281. Recognizes low-speed electric bicycles as bicycles in Montana. If passed, this law would allow Montanans the ability to take advantage of the benefits that electric bicycles offer and clear up significant, and I underline significant, confusion around where these bicycles may be ridden. Electric bicycles are a great form of transportation and recreation for those who wish to continue riding a bicycle but who are physically limited from doing so for one reason or another. HB 281 will enable Montanans to use electric bicycles much like regular bicycles. In Montana, electric bicycles lack a specific vehicle classification, and it is unclear how they are regulated. E-bikes are not mopeds, scooters, or motorcycles. The goal of HB 281 is to clearly define electric bicycles and to provide clear rules with respect to how they must be equipped, operated, and provide clear enforcement guidelines for public safety officials consistent with the other, I believe it's 43 states that have incorporated electric bicycles into their traffic codes. And if I remember right, that's from July, so there's been two more, and I believe that makes 45. that have implemented laws like this one that establish the three classes of electric bicycles in their traffic code. The classification system that is the foundation of HB 281 aligns Montana law with the three main forms of product that are currently on the marketplace and with the federal definitions of an electric bicycle. They create consistent standards and rules for these devices. The bill would, one, codify the industry's adopted three classes of electric bicycles and regulate them based on their maximum assisted speed, require electric bicycle manufacturers to affix a label to each electric bicycle identifying its class, require every electric bicycle manufacturer to certify that it complies with applicable federal equipment and manufacturing requirements, and ensures that the same rules of the road would apply to both e-bikes and human-powered bicycles when it comes to speed, proper passing, following local traffic laws, obeying posted speed limits, and other state and local ordinances. There is a wattage cap to power, and it assists stops when human pedaling stops. Permitting electric bicycles where traditional bikes are allowed through this modern regulatory structure is a fair and sensible choice. Electric bicycles are similar to bicycles in the way that they are made, sold, and used, and are simply bicycles with a boost. The only difference is that electric bicycles carry the unique ability to encourage more people to ride regardless of age, physical ability, or convenience. Thank you.
Representative Gunderson, you've made reference to House Bill 281, but we've got 261. So,
excuse me, I'm back in time. This is 261. 281 was prior bill in 2021.
Yeah, I thank you. I just wanted to make that note so that anyone listening and on this record would know we're talking the same. It's HB 261. So,
thank you, sir.
Do we have any proponents? Any proponents online? We have two, I believe, online. John Juris, please.
We do, Mr. Chair. We have two online.
Yes. Hi.
Proceed, please.
Thank you. John Juris, J-O-H-N-J-U-R-A-S, 220 Woodland Estates Road, Great Falls. I'm the chairman of the Bike Walk Montana Legislative Committee. We've worked with a group of eight legislators over the last year to develop bicycling-related legislation, including this e-bike bill under consideration today. Wanted to thank Representatives Durham, Logie, and Fern for your involvement in our working group, and especially thank Representative Gunderson for sponsoring this bill. Why does Bike Walk Montana care about House Bill 260-261? Because, as our mission statement says, Bike Walk Montana strives to make biking, walking, and rolling, whether for transportation or recreation, safe and accessible for all. E-bikes make bicycling more accessible for older Montanans, which helps us accomplish that mission. Montana's current law already requires e-bikes to be treated as bicycles. This bill doesn't change that. What House Bill 261 does is cleans up current language to match the rest of the current Montana law, as Representative Gunderson, U.S. laws, Representative Gunderson said. However, our rules are not clear on several issues, and this bill addresses those issues. First, the bill adopts the national standards of how e-bikes are defined, Class 1, 2, and 3 system, that the representative spoke about. Our current language is not standard and confusing, so it needs to be updated. Second reason, the bill clarifies how land managers can exclude e-bikes from trails and roadways they manage. Current language is unclear in that area and has led to confusion for several agencies who must determine what types of trail users to allow on their trails. This bill helps clarify that process. Third, the bill clearly states that Class 1, 2, and 3 e-bikes are bicycles and not motor vehicles. If a vehicle with an electric motor does not meet these definitions, this bill makes it clear that such a vehicle would be considered a motor vehicle. If it does meet these definitions, it's to be considered a bicycle. Bike Walk Montana requests your support of the legislation. Separately, I'm also the president of the Great Falls Bicycle Club, representing over 115 members. We've polled our membership, who strongly support House Bill 261 as currently drafted. We have a slightly different motivation for wanting you to support HB 261 than Bike Walk Montana. For example, in Great Falls, many of our natural surface trails follow easements that explicitly prohibit motorized vehicles. Those vehicles are commonly used by Class 1 e-bike riders. Now, some of our riders are concerned that the language in the old law creates confusion about their status. Although House Bill 261 does not explicitly allow e-bikes on natural surface trails, it does clarify what's to be considered a motor vehicle and what's to be considered a bicycle. Our Great Falls riders will then be able to ride on natural surface trails we have built that prohibit motorized vehicles. unless the authority having jurisdiction, in this case it would be Fish, Wildlife, and Parks or the City of Great Falls, chooses to prohibit a class 1, 2, or 3 e-bike on those trails. Our bicycle club disagrees with e-bike opponents who say that Montana's natural surface trails should be blanket closed until open to e-bikes. We believe that trails should be open to class 1 e-bikes unless specifically closed by the land manager. A blanket closure would create a significant burden on land managers, for example. They would be required to enforce the closure by erecting thousands of signs and advertising the trail closures and by dedicating staff to avoid to enforcing those closures. So burden on the agencies. If some land managers choose to close their natural surface bicycle trails to e-bikes, however, House Bill 261 gives them the appropriate legal path as it's currently drafted. The state's policy should be to encourage broader use of our state and local lands, particularly by people with physical limitations. E-bikes allow older citizens to continue healthy activities after traditional biking becomes too difficult. It's becoming the fastest growing way to access trails in the nation. We want more Montana citizens and tourists to enjoy our trails. Opponents argue that the speed of e-bikes makes them dangerous. And as a former mountain bike racer myself, I know that e-bikes are no faster than a traditional bicycle ridden by a physically fit rider. The trail is currently open to a bicycle rider, then continuing to allow e-bike riding is consistent with that trail's current use. In closing, bicycling enriches and extends people's enjoyment of life. Please help enable others to have that same opportunity by passing House Bill 261 as drafted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Juris. Next, we have proponent Christopher Fox online, please.
Mr. Chair and committee members, good afternoon. My name is Chris Fox, C-H-R-I-S-F-O-X, and I live in Stephenville, Montana. I'm also an avid bicyclist, both road and mountain bike. While I do not currently own an electronic bike or e-bike, as I'm still able, fortunately, to pedal my mechanical bicycles, I suspect that I will be riding them in the future. As has been noted, e-bikes benefit bicyclists who may be unable to ride a traditional bicycle due to physical limitations, age, or disability. I support the use of e-bikes on Montana's roads, trails, and other routes. E-bike use and popularity is increasing in Montana. When I was getting ready for this presentation, I Googled the term e-bike use in Montana. The first entry that popped up was a list of about 15 bike stores that either sell or rent e-bikes. HB 261 will better define and clarify the law regarding what an e-bike is, where it can be used, and by who. We should recognize that Montana is a popular destination for bicycle touring, and that visitors and others may benefit from knowing that laws pertaining to e-bikes are consistent with a number of other states. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Do we have any proponents in-house? Yes? Proponent? Yeah, speak. Come to the mic, please.
Good afternoon, Chairman Logie and committee members. My name is Logan Smith, L-O-G-A-N-S-M-I-T-H. I am here today representing Bike Walk Montana as well. I am the interim executive director for Bike Walk Montana. So our mission of biking, walking, and rolling, making it safe and accessible to all Montanans, is at the core of our mission. And further defining our e-bikes in Montana will allow us to continue to serve the connectivity of communities on shared youth paths and recreationally. I support both comments by Chris Fox and John Juris, so at the risk of not repeating what they had mentioned, I would also like to talk about how there has been an uptick in e-bike sales across the nation as well as in Montana. So over the course of the pandemic, bike sales generally rose 65%, while e-bike sales rose 145% in the same period. So over the course of the next few years, the projections of e-bikes will continue to grow, and we will. This bill will allow us to be able to have a definition prior or as Montana continues to grow in e-bike usage. So being on the forefront of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Do we have any other proponents? And I don't see anybody coming to the door from the outside. Opponents, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Noah Marion, last name spelled M-A-R-I-O-N, here representing Wild Montana today. And we rise in opposition to House Bill 261 as currently written. Unfortunately, we kind of see this as a mandate on local communities who we feel are best qualified to deal with e-bike management and understand best which trail systems, which trails in their communities might be most appropriate for e-bike use. Furthermore, defining e-bikes as non-motorized is, we see a little bit problematic because the Forest Service defines e-bikes as motorized vehicles, and that means that e-bikes that will be allowed on non-motorized trails in local and state jurisdictions, but will then be illegal on non-motorized trails on Forest Service lands, and this creates confusion for recreationalists who travel between land jurisdictions on the same trails. If you just look at the South Hills trails in Helena here, they start on local county land trust land and they end up in Forest Service land. So, you know, one of the stated purposes of this legislation that we've seen across the country is to provide consistency with other states, but we feel that it's far more important to have consistency with federal land managers who manage trails who are intermixed with other jurisdictions throughout Montana. My understanding is that the BLM's recent rulemaking for e-bikes use on trails takes a closed and less open approach, which is the opposite that this bill takes, which means e-bikes, I believe class 2 and 3 e-bikes will not be allowed in all places regular bikes are allowed unless through a notice and public comment process the BLM determines that that trail and that use is appropriate. This bill 261 takes the opposite approach, which kind of flips the status quo for e-bike use on trails and would force these communities to hold a public process to restrict the use of e-bikes if they have any conflict issues or enforcement challenges or cost prohibitive issues with additional use on their trails. So we think that closed and less open approach allows communities to more thoughtfully consider which trails are appropriate for which kind of use. And I should qualify, I'm sorry, I should have started by saying that my comments are really only focused on natural surface trails on public lands. The last point, and Mr. Chairman, could I provide a handout, please?
Yes, please.
Sorry for the delay here. And I've highlighted a section on here just to draw your attention. I am almost done here, Mr. Chairman. So creating inconsistent definitions between local and state and federal land managers could result in some disruptions to grant funding for non-motorized trails like the Recreational Trails Program, which funds a lot of trail work across the country. If the federal government has a separate definition, then these trails may not qualify for non-motorized grant funding, which is a third of the available grant pool. So these folks would now be competing for a smaller pot of grant funding. And then finally, I just wanted to draw your attention to the handout that I provided. The proposed legislation, House Bill 261, does leave out what we believe is a critical subsection that could address some of these concerns around e-bike use on trails that was developed by People for Bikes in their model legislation. I've included the printout from their website that has this subsection D, which specifically addresses the use of e-bikes on trails, and we would encourage the committee to take a look at that, and we think that could go a long way towards addressing some of our concerns with this bill if that was included. And I'll be here for questions if there are any, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Hello, Chairman Logie, members of the committee. Amy Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, here on behalf of Montana Audubon. And what you heard a lot from the previous opposition is where also our opposition is focused, and primarily on those designations that affect the natural surface trails. And as you heard, there can be some conflicts between jurisdiction when trails connect, especially, and also a lot of burden on enforcing. I think you could explain it both the closed or open before closed way. There's definitely an enforcement issue that will come up, and then it will depend on where the burden falls. And as you heard, you know, we do want to make sure local communities do not end up having the burden of that enforcement fall onto their shoulders. What you do hear, we definitely agree that the state does need to consider the use of e-bikes. You've heard how much it's increased over time, and our organization is especially concerned with making sure that these trails stay amenable to multiple use, and of course safe for wildlife and wildlife conflicts, especially if bikes that can go much faster are, except for, yeah, there are elite athletes for sure, but bikes that are able to go faster and quieter in predator habitats, wildlife habitats, and things like that. So, of course, it's a simple type issue, but we would agree with the previous proponent. There's some language that could probably be strengthened in this bill, and it's just really important, again, to think about the options that Montana brings compared to our surrounding states, because, again, we really have that wildlife resource and a lot of trail conflicts. And I know from being a local Helen and myself, there are a lot of trail users. We have one of the largest city parks in the country here, and there's a lot of older trail users, and our organization does represent a lot of those folks. So making sure definition works across the board, but we definitely want to see people getting out and using this this type of transportation. So with a couple changes, we'd be able to support and appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seaman. Further opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Katjana Stutzer. It's K-A-T-J-A-N-A, last name S-T-U-T-Z-E-R. And I'm here on behalf of the Montana chapter of the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. We'd also like to echo the opponents that came before us about the use of motorized e-bikes, specifically on natural surface trails. While we recognize the intent of the bill is to update the definition and classification of these motorized e-bikes, it would be redefine motorized e-bikes to something they're not by removing them from the definition of motor vehicles. By definition, these have motors. And this introduces confusion to users and land management and enforcement officers, as you've heard from the previous opponents. Because motorized e-bikes are a budding technology and they're becoming more and more popular, they're also becoming more advanced, faster, cheaper, lighter, which creates problems with the management. And of course, you know, there's other vehicles that we would consider motorized vehicles, even if they're all electric. The absence of gasoline doesn't make motorized e-bikes any less of a motor vehicle. You know, we certainly wouldn't want to see e-four-wheelers on these trails. You know, that's outside of what we expect to see on these natural surface trails, and so we think that we should carefully consider what we're doing by reclassifying this definition. We would just emphasize that on DNRC and FWP lands in Montana, we encourage the committee to look at staying in line with these federal management definitions that are in place for management. And with that, we're asking the committee for a no vote as the bill stands. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? And we have one opponent online, Eric Grove.
Proceed, Mr. Chair. Please.
Yeah, proceed.
Members of the committee, my name is Eric Grove. My address is 724 South Beatty Street in Helena. I'm a retired small business owner. I started the Great Divide Cyclery in Helena in 1984 and owned it for 30 years, selling it in 2014. In the past 38 years, I've been intimately involved in advocating for helping fund and helping construct non-motorized single track trail systems that are open to mountain bike users, including since its inception, the South Hills Trail system, which is nationally recognized in Helena. I also need to point out, too, that I've sold, owned, and ridden e-bikes and consider them to be a fun and useful recreation and transportation alternative. That being said, I do believe the state does need to provide useful guidelines that provide clarity for retailers, consumers, and communities. Unfortunately, HB 261 fails to do this and creates a host of potential problems. I sent written comments to each member of the committee via their individual emails detailing my opposition to HB 261. My testimony today will be a brief summary of those comments and focus really on two areas. The first is that HB 261 attempts to create different classes of e-bikes that are indistinguishable to most people. Further, a class one e-bike can be easily modified by virtually anyone to far exceed its class speed restrictions. This makes allowing one class of e-bike and not another on certain trails simply impractical. Even if enforcement were possible, HB 216 offers no enforcement mechanism or penalty for violating proposed rules. This will result in e-bike class violations, more user conflict on our trails, and more cost to local taxpayers as communities struggle to enforce unenforceable rules. Secondly, HB 261 jeopardizes traditional mountain bike opportunity. It does this by recklessly mandating e-bike use where traditional mountain bikes have access. That leaves local land managers with few options when trying to manage the inevitable problems created by additional e-bike use. Because of this absurd mandate, when there are conflicts, authorities will have little choice but to consider a ban on all bikes, traditional mountain bikes included, from either specific trails or entire trail networks. The mandate unfairly and arbitrarily jeopardizes and holds public access hostage for thousands of traditional mountain bike riders who have nothing to do with e-bike use. Further, in turn, it threatens the multi-million dollar impact visiting traditional mountain bike riders have had on small businesses like my own in communities like Whitefish and Helena. It is for these reasons and others that I encourage you to table HB 261. There is no question that the state needs to provide useful guidelines for e-bike technology and use, but HB 261 is definitely not the answer. We can do much better. I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm here to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. Do we have any further opponents in the audience? Informational witnesses?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jessica Hoag. That's H-O-A-G. And I'm the Recreational Use and Public Access Coordinator for Trustlands at Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. Just here to answer any questions related to Trustlands. Thank you.
Thank you. Further informational.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members. I'm Hope Stockwell. That's H-O-P-E. S-T-O-C-K-W-E-L-L. I'm the administrator of the Parks and Outdoor Recreation Division at Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and also here to answer any questions you might have related to our sites and properties.
Thank you. Any further informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, a question for Mr. Juris, please.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Juris, can you give me maybe a slight estimation of the members of the Great Falls Cycling Club's hours, cumulative hours that they put in the maintenance of the natural surface trails in and around Great Falls area?
Yes, I've been the president of the Great Falls Bicycle Club for a long time, and we have developed the natural surface trail network in concert with the local agencies, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, City of Great Falls, for the last 20 years.
The work has primarily been done by volunteer trail builders. So for the last 20 years, we've spent hundreds of hours every year, in some cases thousands of hours, when we're building our trails to develop that network. And those volunteers enjoy all types of access to those trails, whether it's walking, riding a bicycle, or riding an e-bike on those trails.
Follow up?
Mr. Chair, maybe a follow up for Ms. Seaman, please.
Sir, Chairman Logie, Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Seaman, just can you maybe also kind of maybe answer that same question as to how many hours would you say that your members may have in the maintenance of natural surface trails?
Sure. Representative Kearns, Chairman Logie, I don't have that number for you, and I could get it. We actually don't do on-ground trails work as Montana Audubon members, but chapters in the Flathead, is we have one site, a natural area that is maintained, a 400-acre area maintained.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Fern.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm going to try Mr. Grove, and Mr. Grove could always redirect. Mr. Grove.
Yes, Representative Firm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Grove, can you compare this proposed policy in House Bill 261 to other legislation? And let's just say maybe neighboring Rocky Mountain type states, as to where they have gone with regulatory statutes on e-bikes.
I'll take a stab at it. Chairman Logie, Representative Firm. I think, as referenced earlier by proponents, People for Bikes did develop national model legislation that I don't know specifically which states have adopted it, but key to that model legislation was a provision as detailed by Mr. Marion. That provision basically gives local control over natural surface trails to local authorities. That's in stark contrast to what's being proposed here. For whatever reason, that provision was left off of this legislation, off of House Bill 261. Had it been included, I think it would make this legislation a lot more responsive to local culture about trails. You know, in all due respect to Mr. Juris, South Hills Trails of Helen have a 30-year history of non-motorized use. Those trail systems were, that trail system was entirely constructed by volunteers. Well, I shouldn't say entirely constructed by volunteers, but the vast majority of it was constructed by volunteers. The mountain biking community was a big part of that, and it was the traditional mountain biking community. There hasn't been a single trail that has been advocated for or built by e-bike advocates in the South Hills Trail system. And I think that's an important distinction here. The same holds for Great Falls. The trails that were established in Great Falls were not built by e-bike advocates. They were built by mountain bike advocates. And I think, again, if there were some adjustments made, particularly giving that local control over natural surface trails instead of trying to mandate it from the state, it would make this more palatable.
Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Grove, I think what I hear you saying is a strong preference for a system that is based on opting in rather than opting out. Is that too simplistic?
Yeah, if I, Representative Fern, Mr. Chairman, I guess I take that as saying that in regard to local natural surface trail systems, that the decision of whether to allow e-bikes or not would be up to the local authorities, that it wouldn't be open until closed. It would be closed until open to e-bikes use.
Thank you, Mr. Grove, Mr. Chairman.
Any further question? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Stockwell, please, FWP.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a dirt biker, so they're noisy and they're fun and they tear up the trails. In your experience, do these e-bikes, do they contribute to the degradation of these natural trails that we're talking about? Just because there's more power, people getting into it. I mean, what's been your experience with the trails?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, I personally don't have any experience with e-bikes, so I don't know that I could speak to that.
Follow up, maybe defer to someone that might know the degradation of these e-bikes on trails.
Anyone in the audience have the answer there?
I have one online, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yes, Representative, thank you. Good question. It's actually virtually impossible to spin your wheels on a pedal assist e-bike. If you lose traction as you're pedaling on an e-bike, you get more force going to the rear wheel than the trail will support. The motor instantly stops giving you any kind of additional assistance. So you effectively can't do a rooster tail of dirt and create traction. The similar wear that you see from a pedal e-bike is the same type of wear you'll see from a motorized pedal assist e-bike.
Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Answers it well enough. Thank you.
Representative Carter.
Mr. Chair, to follow up on Representative Smith's question with Mr. Juris.
Yes, sir.
So the...
Through the chair.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Juris, that only applies to Class 1 e-bikes, is that correct? Class 2, would that still, that same apply to that?
There's three classes. Class 1 and 3 are both pedal assist, so you have to be pedaling to get any kind of assistance from the motor. On a Class 2 e-bike, you do not have to be pedaling to get assistance from the motor. It's also a low power assistance similar to a Class 1 e-bike. So you don't have the power on a Class 2 even to do any damage to a trail by doing rooster tails as a dirt biker would have the opportunity to do on a motorized trail. So yes, it's not quite the same as Class 1 and 3. So you probably could get that wheel to turn on its own without you pedaling, but it would be impossible to do the kind of damage that you're talking about.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Juris, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
For Ms. Stockwell.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter.
Ms. Stockwell, Mr. Chair. If this goes through, will I see e-bikes out on National Forest hunting, being able to pull out elk or go in deeper into the woods into the forest, National Forest Service?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carter, I am not familiar enough with Forest Service regulations to be able to speak to that. I would defer again to somebody else in the room who's more familiar with those specific circumstances. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, can I defer to Ms. Hogue?
Yes.
Ms. Hogue, could you answer the same thing for DNRC? Will this allow for e-bikes to go in further and be able to hunt with on state lands?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter, if the bill passes, right now it states that e-bikes are not motorized vehicles and that they're allowed anywhere where bicycles are allowed. So as it's written, it appears that you would be able to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow-up for the bill sponsor, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter.
Representative Gunderson, do you see a couple of these as friendly amendments, maybe having it an opt-in system instead of an opt-out system, and then not allowing for modifications to these e-bikes? Is that something you'd consider?
Mr. Chair, could I ask Ms. Hess to bring up that graphic, that the last graphic I had?
Yes, you may. And just so the committee knows, there's been a little bit of trouble with some technical difficulties. There's a handout that should be here, but she'll get it sent to us later.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter, if you look behind you, or I guess on this side, the green is the states that have actually adopted the pretty much model legislation that I'm proposing, okay? Modifications aren't allowed in this. You can't change it. Again, that's why the sticker, class 1, class 2, class 3, they're not to be a motorized vehicle like a scooter or a motorcycle. That's not the intent of the bill. The bill is to classify those three classifications and to give us the ability to use those bikes on whatever they are deemed by land managers to allow on shared trails, roads, whatever they may be. I'd actually have you read the bill completely through, because it'll lead you through the, you know, we're not asking to have modifications done to them. All we're doing is asking for e-bikes to be accepted for what they are, a pedal assist, for like old people like me. I'm using that facetiously. I actually own 4 e-bikes. I've got 2 at my house, and I've got 2 at my summer house, and I use them all the time. I use them on trails that are shared with people walking, but I also myself personally use common sense, and I don't go racing at 20 miles an hour that my e-bike is throttled to, excuse me, not, that's not a good word either, governed to. And I think that's what we're talking about in the bill, is common sense use of e-bikes.
Is that a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Further
follow-up?
Yep.
Request, Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Gunderson, and your thoughts about having this, is that, would you consider this a friendly amendment to have this as an opt-in instead of an opt-out?
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter, please explain opt-in and opt-out.
Rather than having this as a default as everything open, instead of defaulting as everything closed and then having to go through the public comment and process to open something up to e-bikes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carter, this isn't germane to the bill. The bill is actually giving land managers that specific ability. Without the classification process, they can't tell you opt in or opt out. They're the ones that are going to be making those decisions based on the bill allowing for the classifications.
Thank you,
Mr. Representative Carter. I think what Representative Gunderson's getting at is the bill is for the classifications, and the land use managers, that would be their choices, however they deal with the land use manager. Correct,
Representative
Gunderson?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask Mr. Jarrus, Mr. Chair, to clarify this?
Go ahead.
That was his comment. Question for Mr. Jarrus.
Please repeat your question, Mr. Carter, Representative Carter.
You mentioned that the default for this is an open to all trails, including natural surface trails, instead of being closed. What are your thoughts about having everything default as closed, and then you'd have to go through the same process to open them, including public comment process?
There again, Representative Carter, it's up to the land managers in the area and the local decisions, and you know, this is dealing with the definitions of the e-bikes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I would answer that two ways. One, current law has the agencies to treat e-bikes as bicycles. So the current law is there. The precedent is there that those vehicles are to be treated as bicycles, whether they're on natural surface trails or whether they're on paved trails. The second part of my answer is that the bill creates a clear path for agencies who care about how folks use their trails, gives them a clear path that they do not have now to either allow or not allow the use, that use, that specific use of one class one, two, or three e-bikes on their trails. What we commonly see in other states, in my experience, is that class one e-bikes, which are the most similar to a standard bicycle, are commonly allowed on trails. There's many places they're not as well, but they're commonly allowed in many places. In Montana, it makes sense that since the way the law is currently written, we would be staying consistent with what is currently happening, which is because they're defined as bicycles in current law, if it's a trail that's open to a bicycle currently, then it would be open to a bicycle now. And now with this bill, you've got a path to close that trail to the specific uses as defined in the law in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Juris. And that's what the bill, like I say, deals with, the classifications. Any further questions? Yes, Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Grove.
Representative Durham, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Grove. We've heard discussion about e-bikes and bicycles. I'll just say most of us on the committee probably have not ridden an e-bike. Could you describe the extra noise that an e-bike would create?
Representative Durham, noise isn't really the issue with e-bikes. It isn't noisy at all, of course.
Thank you, Mr. Grove.
Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, would the sponsor care to close?
Mr. Chair, committee, I was going to use the term, I didn't think we got too wrapped up around the axle, but I won't. I'll refrain from that. But I do think the opposition got wrapped up around the axle, and there's so much misinformation. To advocate keeping us off of our public lands, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I'm saddened by elitist bike owners that don't want to share the trails. If they want compensation for what they put into them, how about the people walking them? They're using them. So that's kind of an absurd thing that we got off into the weeds in. The modification issue, you'd be amazed that I got a couple emails that wanted me to amend this bill to allow for them to modify their bikes. I said, look, this isn't what it's for. It's made to come up with three classifications and three classifications only. As a management tool, HB 261 gives the land managers the ability to properly classify which e-bikes get used on which trails. They should be the ones making that decision. Since last session, I've had the ability to travel a little bit, and in both Glacier Park and Yellowstone, I made some inquiries, and I did a search of how many e-bike rental places there were and sales places, and it was amazing. Those are used within our national park system
with no problem. The U.S. Forest Service did a very extensive comment period, and the elitists won out, and they decided to not allow e-bikes on Forest Service-managed resources. BLM looked at it a little different way. So now we've got two federal agencies that are land managers that have diametrically opposed use policies on our public lands. So we need to resolve that as well. Who's right? I don't know. As an e-bike user, as that old duffer that really enjoys getting out there and bicycling, but God, I hate that long trail coming home when I'm tired. That little boost of power enables me to go up hills to actually make it back home to get my exercise. Can't tell right now, but I try to bike a lot. So I would leave you with looking at saying that e-bikes are a bad thing because they're electric. Isn't that what the NGOs and the environmentalists have been telling us that we need to go to is all electric? I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. That closes the hearing on House Bill 261. Now, as a committee, we have no more bills right now. I've scheduled one for next Monday for a hearing on that one. We have House Bill 46 on our packet, and it looks, 46. It looks as though we may wait till Monday on an executive action on that one because we have someone from MDT. There's some family issues, so give him respect for that. And then I think we will try to do EA on this bill on Wednesday so that we're still proceeding. And Wednesday, that would be the EA would be about our only business for Wednesday. So I will adjourn the House Transportation Committee until Wednesday. Thank you.